and welcome to the fourth installment of Let's Make a Monster, part of the Final Girls Horrorcast, the special monthly episode where we steal one of my non-horror-loving friends, force them to watch a horror movie, and try to turn them to the dark side. I'm Amy.
And I'm Carly.
Today we welcome back my friend Lizzie. Welcome, Lizzie.
Oh, thank you.
The last time you were on, we watched An American Werewolf in London. I believe that was our second Let's Make a Monster episode?
Yeah, I think so.
How have you been doing since then? You watched any horror movies lately?
I have not watched any horror movies lately.
On purpose, I assume.
Yes.
Yeah.
I haven't had you to screen them for me first.
Yeah. So, Lizzie doesn't like horror movies, in case you haven't listened to these episodes before.
It's true.
So, we have picked a movie for her to watch this time. It was a little bit more difficult than last time.
Why?
Well, because I had a lot of ideas and none of them were streaming. And also, Carly reminded me that we're supposed to be scarier each time you come.
Oh, you didn't tell me that.
And you're welcome.
Oh. So we're going a little bit scarier this time. But I still think there are things you will like about this movie.
Oh, maybe. Okay.
Surprise.
She's so disappointed in me right now. She looks so upset.
Trust you to take care of me. Make sure I'm not afraid.
Okay. I never promised you wouldn't be afraid.
That's true.
I promised I would pick a movie that I think you will like.
I'm tough. I can handle it. It's okay. It's okay.
I was upset about this. This was not a movie I originally wanted to pick for
I'm
you.
So excited.
And Carly, how many times did I say, I'm worried this movie's too scary for Lizzie?
Shit.
We went back and forth a lot on this.
So the options were to pick a movie that wasn't scary at all, pick a movie we'd never seen before, which is very risky, or pick a movie we know you would like, but might be a little bit scarier than you anticipated.
All right.
So the movie we picked for you this week is The Babadook.
Oh, okay. I've heard of that.
You've heard of this.
Yeah.
It's written and directed by Jennifer Kent. It's her first full-length movie, so it's a woman writer and woman director.
You know, I like that.
Okay. Yep. It's an Australian film.
All right.
It was created in 2014. And I think that you might respond to this movie, but why don't you tell me a little bit about your impressions of this movie from just hearing things, or maybe what you think you might expect or what you might feel during this film.
Sure. So this is probably going to be funny because I don't really know anything about this movie, but okay, I have a lot of feelings about it immediately. Okay. When you said the name. It sounds like folklore-y.
Yeah.
You know, and that stuff scares me a lot because it's the kind of thing that I think you can really run wild with your imagination. And that's, like I've talked to you about before, that's the kind of horror that really scares me because that's the kind of thing I'm laying alone in the dark and I start thinking about it and I can't sleep. So this kind of sounds a little folklore-esque to me, maybe. I don't, like I said before, I know nothing about this movie, pretty much.
Well, that's good. I kind of contemplated showing you the trailer before we did this, but then I was like, I think it's better if she goes in with fresh eyes.
I like that idea. Totally.
I think you will respond to this seems very independent.
Okay.
Type film. There's a ton of symbolism. Like,
you're testing me.
Yes, a little bit. Not testing you. I just think you enjoy that.
I do.
You enjoy analyzing stuff.
I do. I'm a lawyer.
Yeah.
That's how my brain works.
If you guys didn't hear Lizzie's previous episode, she is a lawyer and she really enjoys analyzing things.
So over-analyzing things.
And she also really likes books.
I do.
There's a book in this movie.
I like books. I like books a lot. All right, cool.
And, you know, it's a foreign film.
I like foreign films.
I'm excited.
What's not to like?
I'm excited that I don't know anything about this movie. I was excited going into this knowing I didn't know what you were going to pick, and it was really hard not to ask you.
This was not even a movie that I put on one of the many lists I sent you.
I know.
Because every movie I picked that I wanted you to watch, you had either seen before or it wasn't streaming. Or we had done it before. Like, I also kind of thought The Invitation would be a really good movie for you, but we already did an episode on that fairly recently. So we decided to skip that option.
Cool. I think I'm ready to go a little deeper into the realm of horror.
Is that right?
Maybe. We'll find out. I'll blame you forever if I'm not.
Well, I really hope not. Feel free to wake me up in the middle of the night.
Oh, I will. No problem.
Should you be scared?
Should you need assistance?
I kept telling Carly, I'm like, I really want to do this, but Lizzie might hate me, but she might love it too. Like, it could go either way.
Hey, you know, I like to take chances. I'm willing to give it a shot. Okay. Javi made me watch Trick or Treat. Was that true before I did the last one?
No.
I don't think so.
So that's the one I've seen in the meantime. He made me watch Trick or Treat.
Oh, we love Trick or Treat.
I hated it. I really hated
it. We recently did an episode on Trick or Treat.
Talk about jump scares.
It's pretty much my favorite.
There's a little bit of jump scares in this.
The beginning especially.
But you can take it.
Killed me.
You can take it. There's enough other stuff going on that I think you might still like it.
I survived Trick or Treat. I can probably survive this. We'll see.
I think you can survive it.
I'll just jump into your lap like a cat or a child.
She'll just hold you throughout the entire movie.
She might have to.
I love this episode has such a different feel than our previous Let's Make a Monsters, and I love it. We should always do these at night. This is terrible and awesome at the same time.
I like that you're not taking it easy on me this time. I like being challenged, so let's do it.
Well, it's your second time. Yeah. The first time we're always a little easy. You're our guinea pig.
Yeah.
You're our first second timer.
Okay.
We love having you on, by the way.
I love being here.
You are welcome to be on the podcast anytime you want.
Super fun. I love geeking out on movies anytime.
It's so much fun. And well, we'll be back in a little bit, I guess. For those of you listening at home, The Babadook is currently streaming on Netflix, so you should all be able to watch that should you choose to. And if for some reason you haven't seen it yet, please feel free. It's a fun movie. It's a good movie.
I think this movie is great.
I have a good time watching this movie. I've seen it several times, so
I'm excited to revisit it.
Yeah, I think it'll be good.
If I think it's bad, I'm going to judge you guys really hard on it, right?
I don't think I'm worried about it being you thinking it's bad. I'm worried about you being too scared.
Okay.
We can take breaks should you need to. You can sleep on my couch if you're too scared to go home.
Great, I'll keep that in mind.
You are welcome to stay on my couch. My cat will sleep with you and protect you.
Yeah, right.
Okay.
Your cat's more scared than I am.
All right. Well, I think that's it for now. We'll be back after this short break with our feelings on it and Lizzie's feelings on this film. Okay. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Samuel.
I don't want you to die.
It isn't real. It isn't real. It's just a book.
Where'd you get this?
On the shelf.
If it's in a word or it's in a look, you can't get rid of the Babadook.
Babadook, duck, duck. It wants to scare you first. Then you'll see it.
This monster thing has got to stop.
You can't get rid of the Babadook.
Okay, guys, and we're back from watching The Babadook, written and directed by Jennifer Kent. Lizzie is still here. It's nighttime. It's dark. We turn the lights out. She's still alive. How are you feeling, Lizzie?
I only hid under my sweatshirt once, I think.
You were actually very brave. I think I hid under my sweatshirt more times the first time I saw this movie.
I'm impressed. That's impressive.
She was impressive. She acts like she gets so scared, but she's pretty tough.
I was pretty scared. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
I was just turning it into anger towards Amy during the movie. I'd just look at her and be like, why are you doing this to me?
There were some grumbles and some I hate this movie when we were watching it. But that was to be expected. I was super nervous picking this movie.
Yeah, this was ballsy, dude.
I didn't know what else to do. I was like, because I didn't want to just pick a whatever horror movie for you.
Yeah, it's true. It was rough.
Well, what's interesting is that you guys picked a movie that has a lot of qualities that I told you scare me a lot in horror movies. Like the kids stuff, the pet stuff. I mean, all these things that are like huge triggers for me.
I mean, the pet stuff is something big for us, too.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't pay attention. Steve was in the room and I was like, tell me when I can look, because la, 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 la.
That was when I had another sweatshirt.
And you don't, I'm sure you don't really listen to our regular episodes, but oftentimes a topic of conversation is animal cruelty, watching films. And yeah, even if the animals aren't harmed on set, still tough, especially for Carly. I have more of a hard time when I know something bad happened to the animal in real life. I can kind of like suspend my issues if I know it's fake.
I can't. Like, I can see adults get hurt or killed, and I can suspend belief and understand that it's, like, acting. But yeah, for some reason, when it's animals, yeah, I just, like, I can't. I have no defense mechanism.
I think it also helped that they didn't really show it. They, like, alluded to it.
I will never know.
I know, me either. I wasn't watching, so.
I was literally, like, plugging my ears, la-la-lying.
Yeah, I was under the sweatshirt.
I kind of forgot that that happened. Like, I knew that the dog died, but I didn't remember how. Because I don't think I've seen this movie for a couple years now. At least not all the way through. And it was interesting. It was interesting to revisit, and it was fun to watch with you, even though you were having a difficult time with it. I kept asking Lizzie if she wanted me to pause it or
needed
a break. I'm like, do you need a break? We can take a quick break.
No, it's like, I'm already in it. Got it. But I mean, I made a transformation in there for sure.
Yeah.
It all felt like finally, it took me a long time. For somebody who reads so much and watches a lot of films, I should be quicker when it comes to symbolism and stuff like that. But
it doesn't, the first time you watch it, it doesn't hit you till the end. Yeah. What's actually
and then
happening.
I was just like, oh, okay, I respect this now. I get it. This is not just like sadistic, you know, violence or like scare tactics. And that's what I resent about horror movies. And we've talked about that, where I feel like I'm being manipulated, you know?
Yeah.
And tweaked for just for somebody's pleasure. But with this, like, now that when I realized there was a reason why everything was happening, it made more sense to me and I wasn't as hostile towards it and I could understand it a little better.
Yeah. There was definitely a journey you were having there.
Yeah, I was having a journey.
Yeah.
I had a journey on your couch.
It's a good place to have a journey. I have journeys there all the time.
Yeah, totally.
So all in all, how are you feeling about this movie now?
I really liked it. Did honestly. It,
really?
Yes.
I love that you loved it. That's really impressive.
It was hard to watch, but I'm going to remember really liking this movie.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's going to scare me long term because there was a story, there's a reason. Like, it's, I don't know why that makes it feel less ominous after the fact.
Because it resolves itself.
Yeah.
And there's closure. There's a reason for what's happening,
mm-hmm.
and there's resolution to it.
Yeah.
So I feel like, yeah, it doesn't really stick with you the same way something without resolution might.
It's true. And it's very specific. Like you said, there's a reason why it's happening. It's not like some movie like Trick or Treat that I mentioned that I watched recently. Hi, Javi, if you're listening, it's because he made me watch it.
Javi, she's not ready for that yet.
He doesn't care. He knows that. He just doesn't care. He just likes to do that to me anyway. But, you know, these kids are just like, people are just randomly getting knocked off because there's, you know, bad people doing bad things. And this wasn't random.
Yeah.
This was a journey for them.
It's a journey.
For a reason.
Yeah.
So it's not going to follow me around necessarily.
Right. And that's kind of what I thought or I was hoping would happen. So I'm glad it did, because...
And once I could tell what was going on, I totally figured out, I think, a lot of your process for selecting this movie and why you thought it would be, like, okay, and you're totally right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it is, it's pretty frightening.
Yeah.
It's a really frightening idea. No one likes anything sneaking in their room at night or looking creepy or calling them on the phone and knocking on their doors.
No.
No. And especially when you live alone, that's not a fun thing to watch.
Can't wait to go home tonight. It's going to be great.
Well, that's good. I was like, I wanted to do this earlier.
The couch is open.
Stay on my couch. It's my fault.
It's okay. My cat's pretty terrifying.
Yeah.
He could take down Babadook.
Well, I'm really glad you liked it. Carly, how did you feel rewatching this? Did it? How many times have you seen this multiple times before?
Yeah, I think this is the third time that I've seen it. But yeah, it's been a while since the last time that I watched it. And I really liked it. I didn't find it as scary as I obviously did the first like couple times I watched it. I was anticipating the dog part the entire time. I always get really annoyed by the child.
He's so annoying.
I loved him.
Lizzie loved him.
I loved him so much. I thought he was adorable.
I was like, this is why I don't have kids.
I totally thought that about five times.
I did say that at one point during the movie.
Yeah.
Like when he's just like screaming, I was like, he redeems himself at the end. He redeems himself at the end. Like.
Yeah. Yeah, there's quite a few people I know that have watched this and been like, I just can't because of the kid.
I loved the kid. I really loved that kid. I actually felt the opposite. She annoyed me at the beginning, and I loved the kid.
I could feel that from your responses, that you felt badly for the kid the entire film.
Mm-hmm.
And hated the mom for a lot of the film. Yeah.
I was like, she just needs sleep.
I know. And I understand. I totally get that part, too. Like, but I still, you know, he's a little boy with big eyes and he's cute and vulnerable. And maybe he's schizophrenic. Maybe he should go to a psychiatrist. Like, why didn't she do that first before he had some kind of seizure or whatever? I don't know.
And he does magic, which I'm sure Amy appreciated.
Yeah, magic is awesome.
I didn't know you had a magic thing.
I don't really.
Okay. I was like, is this something I don't know about Amy? Amy loves
it's
magic.
It's a Gilmore Girls.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Inside thing. Joke, I suppose.
I don't know nothing about that.
Yeah.
Conversation for another day.
Yeah. So, they actually made these pop-up books.
Oh God!
In real life,
my friend has one because he donated to the Kickstarter.
That's awesome.
They're super cool.
There was like $30,000 worth of this film was from Kickstarter.
Wow!
But it was like a $2.5 million film to make.
Okay.
And they did 2,000. They printed 2,000 books, actual pop-up books with the whole thing, and Jennifer Kent signed them. And then I think they ended up producing around 10,000, maybe a little bit less than that. I would really love to have one of these books.
Oh my God.
It's awesome. It's super really cool.
I would not have that in my house.
Just as an art piece.
Oh, God, no. I'd never have that in my house. That would scare the shit out of me. I would burn it outside in a barbecue like she did.
Yeah, and then it would show back up on your doorstep.
Oh, that would be the worst.
Lizzie's making a really horrible face right now.
Yeah. It's okay. It's okay. It's not real.
It's not real. It's
not. I don't have a dead husband I'm not dealing with.
It's okay. Yeah. Your grief isn't all consuming.
And it's out in the open. Don't repress your emotions. Lesson learned.
I mean, yeah, that's the basic symbolism here is this is what happens when you repress your issues and your grief and you don't deal with it. You just swallow it down.
Oh, God. I didn't even notice that. Literally swallowing it down. Yeah.
Yeah.
You got to vomit it back up.
Look at it. Black deal goo. With it.
Yell at it.
Yeah.
I said Baba Gook
Yeah, she said Baba Gook, and that I thought that was pretty good.
That is great.
Like, oh, she's vomiting up the Baba Gook.
Yes.
But <Ba-dum-tsh>. I'm so funny.
Oh, man. I think the hardest part to watch in this movie are the bugs. I have a really hard time with bugs.
Yeah, that when the first cockroach came out, Amy said, "This is my worst nightmare."
This is like, it's horrible. It's horrible. I never had to deal with cockroaches till I moved out west, and now it's
why
like,
do you think part of that, I'm sorry, now I'm interviewing you. Do you think part of that is the fact that like there's one, there's two, and then you have no idea how many there are and they just keep coming and it's like totally out of control? Because I know you like to be in control of things.
That's true.
So I'm psychoanalyzing it.
Yeah, sure. I think that's part of it. I think the larger part of it is they're disgusting.
No, for sure.
And just seeing one is enough for me to be freaked out. Like, one time, okay, I live in an old house in Southern California. There's cockroaches in every old house in Southern California mm-hmm. in the summer. It's pretty much
every house in Southern California.
Yeah, we also have like a house that's under construction, so we get bugs and spiders, whatever. Spiders I can deal with. Cockroaches, though, are not something I'm familiar with or have ever had to really deal with in my life. And the cockroaches that we have in Southern California are big.
Yeah, they're like steroids. They're disgusting.
They're huge.
They're humongous. Luckily, they don't fly because that would be even worse.
It would.
Oh, my God.
Because if they flew, I would die. They don't fly, but...
Not yet.
Luckily, my husband's from Hawaii, so, like, he's used to, like, crazy ginormous bugs, and he deals with that. Small spiders, I can totally kill a spider any day of the week. I'm fine.
You don't take them outside, you just kill them?
Oh, yeah, because there's a billion of them. Okay. There's so many. They're not dying anytime soon.
No, I don't judge. Just asking.
But one night, I went to, especially in the summer, it gets bad. I went into the bathroom one night, turned on the light, and there was this huge cockroach on the floor. It's the first time I've ever seen a cockroach, and I fucking flipped out. And then every time I go in the bathroom, that's all I think about. I'm like, what if there's a huge cockroach?
Totally. Like, every time, I mean,
it haunts me.
Every time I see a cockroach, I scream. Yeah. Every single time.
You don't get used to it.
No, there's no getting used to it. I scream every single time I see a cockroach. Every single time.
Yeah, her roaches were small.
They were tiny.
But those things look like they could fly. Yeah. I'm not down with that either.
Yeah, that's nasty.
They're all disgusting. I'm going to be honest with you.
Yeah,
but we have done a little bit better about controlling the bugs around the house with sprays and things like that. So we have had less of an issue. But in the summer, it can get gnarly if we don't stay on top of it. So fun stuff.
Woo!
Don't you guys wish you lived in Southern California where we have the biggest cockroaches ever?
Things are not always what they seem.
Ugh, they're so gross.
In Southern California.
Oh my God, they're so gross.
Or in Australia.
God, yeah.
Wait, so can we talk about the movie, please?
We can talk about whatever you want. Go for it.
So I would like to know a little bit more about it. Okay. So it's from Australia. Mm-hmm. Like, is it countryside or is it a city? What is the deal? Is it just kind of vague?
I think it's supposed to be suburbia.
Okay.
There's not a ton of information regarding Jennifer Kent. This is her first full-length movie.
Okay.
She wrote and directed it herself. She did a short before this. I believe it was called Monster or something like that. Mm-hmm. Where I guess she had a friend that was dealing with grief and she wanted to, like, make a short film about it. And then she kind of, like, after she made the short film, it still wasn't out of her system. Like, she still wanted to tell more of a story, mm-hmm. so she decided to make a full-length film.
Okay.
So, I don't know. I think this is really, like, a successful movie. This movie was talked about a lot in horror circles when it first came out. In the U.S., it did really well.
How long ago did it come out?
2014.
Okay.
So only 3 years ago. And it was towards the end of the year. Mm-hmm. I remember being really excited before this movie came out. There was a lot of hype behind it. I think it was in the indie film circuit, film festival circuit. Carly, you remember when this came out? Did you see it in the theater?
I did not see it in the theater. I remember hearing about it because it got a lot of praise at Sundance. In 2014?
Yeah.
But I think the first time that I actually saw it was via Netflix, when it had come to Netflix.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's beautifully shot. I would have liked to see it in theaters. I mean, I don't know if I could handle it, but...
I don't know if it was in theaters in the U.S. I mean, it might have had limited release. The only reason I ask you is because L.A. gets everything. So if it did come to theaters...
If it was at Sundance, it probably played in L.A., New York at least.
Probably. But I didn't get to see it in the theater either. I would have loved to. Yeah. I saw it before it hit Netflix because I have a friend who got it somehow. But I really liked this movie. And I still like it. Upon several viewings, I still like it. It certainly isn't scary. Like, the more you watch it, the less scary it is. Like, there's not even really very many jump scares.
No, there aren't.
I kind of thought I remembered there being more jump scares, but I think that I was just so frightened the first time anticipating things. I did get to look a little bit closer at the Babadook this time, and how he basically just looks like paper, you know?
There's something scary about that.
I agree.
There is something very scary about that, but it's also...
He's not strong, he's weak.
He's also, like, kind of, like, a child's dream, you know? Like, it doesn't seem...
Well, that's why Freddy Krueger, like, really freaked me out and stuff like that, because it is, like, the things that a child would have a nightmare about. Like, and for some reason, those are the things that really frighten me.
Well, in comparison, Freddy Krueger is much more frightening.
He has knives for fingers and stuff, like, right?
He's brutal. Okay. And there's lots of blood involved. This movie didn't have any of that.
No, he just had a funny top hat and stuff. Like,
yeah. No one actually dies in this movie except for poor Bugsy. Poor Bugsy.
Poor Bugsy.
But I wish that cousin had died when she fell out of the treehouse. She was awful. That poor kid. That poor little boy. He just kept getting misunderstood by everybody.
He's just misunderstood.
Everybody was blaming him, and it was like, I would have pushed her out of the treehouse, too.
She was being a little
She's being really
snot.
Mean to him.
It's true. All right.
There are so many things about this movie we could talk about. I don't even know.
There was a point when you took a pill and I was worried you were taking a Xanax.
I just took an Aleve.
I have that written down where I was like, Lizzie just took a pill. I hope it's not Xanax.
I thought about it, but it wasn't.
It was after Samuel calls Mrs. Roach to say he wants to stay the night, and he's all scared and mom's being a fucking psycho.
I did not take a Xanax. I managed.
You did. You did really well. You're way tougher, like, on the outside than I am when I watch horror movies for the first time. I do some hiding.
Well, it's for me with horror movies, like I think I've told you, it's not, my problem is not seeing it the first time. It's like connected to like my problem sleeping and why I've stayed away from horror movies generally. And because I've told you my imagination is like very vivid and it'll just mess me up for a long period of time afterwards. Watching it the first time, unless it's like Trick or Treat or some stupid movie like that. I'm sorry if you like Trick or Treat.
We both love Trick or Treat.
Okay. But you know that what it is. I mean, you know.
We do.
Like jump scare stuff.
I understand what you
mean. Or Paranormal Activity, my like, you know, bar for things that I hate and are awful for me to watch. If it's not all like jump scares and stuff, like it's not excruciating for me to watch.
Yeah.
And I don't care about violence or whatever.
I'm not huge on jump scares either, but I've gotten so much better at it. I think within the last couple years, because I watched so many horror movies, I think the anticipation is scarier than anything I've ever seen on screen.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, once you get past that, it's not a problem. Because usually I end up, like, watching the jump scare and then I'm like, but that's silly. You know, like, it's just the screaming and the jumping out at you.
Well, what scares, like, you exactly what you said. What scares me about horror movies are the things that scare me the most is the anticipation.
Yeah.
What you imagine, not what actually you see or what happens. It's
but
always
that. I have a wild imagination when it comes to horror movies, too. Like, or at least I used to. I don't think it affects me quite the way it used to. But I used to have a lot of nightmares, but I kind of enjoy it, I guess, to a point. Because if I didn't, you know, it's like the same thing as roller coasters. Being scared can be fun sometimes.
Yeah, I love roller coasters.
The adrenaline.
Yeah.
It's not fun when you can't sleep for multiple nights in a row, but I haven't had that issue in a really long time.
I'll tell you what happens after tonight.
Well, I hope that this doesn't.
It was worth it, though.
Do
I did. I think again, this opened me up to seeing horror movies in a different way. This was an unusual movie with the way that it ended. I mean, yeah. It's unusual for a horror movie not to just have a happy ending, but for it to be so much resolution.
Yeah.
Like, it was so satisfying. Just for a movie in general to be resolved so thoroughly.
Yeah.
Like, to be tied up in a neat little bow, basically, you know? Like,
yeah.
And not in a saccharine, fake way. It was very cathartic, actually. Mm-hmm. Like, you kind of go through that catharsis with them.
Yeah.
And I liked that. I was, like, really respected that.
Yeah, this is a really strong movie, and I'm glad you can appreciate it, because, like I said a million times, I was really nervous. Yeah. I kept going to Carly and like, she might hate me after this. I don't know if she's still going to want to be my friend
after this. I was like, it's fine. We're just doing it. Just pick a movie, stick with it. We're going to follow through.
We almost picked, like, we were like, we should pick a movie that, we almost picked a movie neither of us have watched before, just because I was like, it's going to be less scary than what we are picking. Then we had to just be like, no, she needs to watch something actually scary that has substance, so she can see even scary movies have substance sometimes. And they can have substance, and there can be a real message and story and characters, people you care about.
I appreciate that, because, you know, I'm willing to push myself, obviously, by doing this podcast, like, twice and voluntarily watching horror movies, which is not my favorite thing to do. I'm willing to take chances and push myself a little bit, and I trust that you know me well enough to know the things that I like, and I also respect, you know, things that you like, and I'm glad I did, because this movie had a lot of qualities I really loved.
I'm really glad.
Yeah, I mean, it was interesting. It was just two people 90% of the time, basically, which I think is so interesting when a movie can hold up that well, and the way they played with light and darkness and colors and...
Yeah, it was very
shadows.
Blue.
I wrote that down. Very, where did I write that?
Very like, blue.
Very blue.
Yeah. Almost all the walls are blue.
Right. I wrote all gray. I guess it was blue, but mom and pink gray light and colors. Pink. Yeah. It was a lot of dichotomy of light and dark. And
yeah.
It was interesting.
Yeah. I also, this time around, found more similarities to The Shining than I remembered before. Where the kid, especially at the beginning, Samuel has, like, some, like, minor psychic incidences where he seems to know what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. And there's also the mom goes through the same kind of psychosis that, like, the dad and The Shining goes through and goes crazy and tries to attack their loved ones. I mean, there's a lot more similarities between the two than I think I realized before.
I didn't think of that, but yeah, absolutely.
And The Shining is one of my all-time favorites.
I love The Shining, too. And I only saw it for the first time, like, a year or two ago.
Yeah.
You know I love Stephen King books.
Yeah.
And, I read The Shining and watched it, like, a year and a half ago. And I loved it, too. But there's something really intensely terrifying about, obviously, the people you love the most being the ones who are turning on you. And when I realized that's where this was going, when the book came out and she was leafing through the pages, I was just like, oh, God. That was one of the times I told Amy, like, why are you doing this to me? That kind of stuff really scares me. I mean, I think it scares everybody. You're like, not knowing who you can trust and the people you're most close to turning on you.
Totally.
That was really frightening. And you can't really tell it's a little vague towards the middle beginning who's bad and who's good. Because initially things are happening that are bad. Samuel keeps getting in trouble. And you're like, is he like, what is that movie called with Macaulay Culkin? The Good Child?
Oh, The Good Son.
The Good Son. Yeah. You're like, is there a little Good Son stuff happening here? Like, is he a little evil?
Is he a devil child?
is he a devil child? And I wasn't totally sure. Like, is he going to stab her with, you know, because he's got this plan and... I don't know. I wasn't sure. And then it kind of shifted a little bit. And you realize he's really innocent and trying to protect his mom and be safe. But she starts getting a little darker. And it was interesting watching that kind of go cycle a little bit.
Yeah. Well, he's just so affected by his mother.
Oh, yeah. It's his whole world.
Yeah.
She's his whole world. So, yeah. He's just a child. He's a little guy. So everything she goes through, he goes through.
I also thought it was really interesting. I like in this movie how there's not really any strong adult male characters. No. It's very feminine overviews of, mm-hmm. of life and the world and dealing with children and dealing with life without a partner. And I thought it was interesting how they had a man there, like Robbie, mm-hmm. the mom's coworker, who obviously isn't interested in her.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved how he was there, but he wasn't. Do you know right. what I mean? Like, he wasn't the rescuer. He
no.
wasn't the one that swooped in and saved the day. But he was just kind of there. He was a loving, like, wonderful character for a brief moment in time. And then he just kind of, like, backed away.
I was thinking about that, too. Like, why was he in the movie?
You know, it's kind of just, like, so... I always viewed it as she's not alone.
Right.
She has people that okay. care about her.
Right. She doesn't have to be alone.
Still, yeah. But she still chooses to be alone, and mm-hmm. she is unable to move past it. She still appears to be grieving.
Right. That makes sense.
In a way that she doesn't even realize she is.
Like, I think she's, you're right.
I love when the little kid's like, you won't let me have a birthday, and you won't let me have yeah. a dad.
Yeah.
He runs away.
I love everything he says to everybody.
She's just so blank
yeah.
at the beginning of the movie.
Yeah, she's vacant.
She's totally vacant. And even when she's not, she still is. Mm-hmm. Like, calling Bingo is,
oh,
like,
my God.
It's like
53 billion or whatever yeah. she says.
5 billion.
You know, she's funny. She definitely has a slight personality, but it's so muted
mm-hmm.
compared to her surroundings.
Yeah.
So I feel like Robbie's real reason was just to show, like, she has options.
Right.
She's not allowing herself to experience those options.
I think
she's,
you're right, because yeah. all the other people in the movie, like her sister and the school, they're like kind of against her, right?
Yeah.
There's like this dichotomy, and it's not her fault, but that's just what's happening, and it's unfair. But that shows that, no, she has options. There are people in her life who want to be supportive and be there for her, like the neighbor, too.
Yeah.
But she's choosing not to utilize that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah. She can't let anyone in mm-hmm. because if she lets people in, then she's also letting the grief in.
Right.
Yeah. Carly, thoughts? You're so quiet today.
I am quiet today. I love the scene where they're at the chick's or the like the little girl's birthday.
Yeah.
And it's the mothers who mm-hmm. are like clearly like judging her, and it's like the saddest. Ugh. And she just, like, finally, like, snaps on them. I'm like, you go, girl. Like,
yeah,
fuck those bitches. mm-hmm.
Yeah, talking about disadvantage.
Yeah. Oh, you must have moms. So much to talk to them about. How tragic. You can't go to the gym. No, I loved that. It seems like every time – that reminds me, like, every time she has a moment where she relaxes or – gets a little sexy with her vibrator or whatever, she gets punished.
Yeah.
Like, every time, at the beginning especially, every time she just kind of let her guard down, the kid would wake up and run in, or she's fighting with the moms, the daughter falls from the, or the cousin falls from the treehouse. Or if they don't, there are a couple other things that happened too, but there was always, every time she indulges in her own thoughts, she gets punished. Every time she gets complacent, something happens. Like, I mean, I don't know why that there seems like there's like punishment or a bad result every time she just tries to relax. I don't know. Maybe because everything's just really bad.
I think it's just a matter of showing her not being able to deal with everyday life and
yeah.
trying to escape it and not being able to escape it.
Yeah, that sounds about right. So at the very beginning, when I noticed right away when she flinched when the kid hugged her around the throat.
Mm-hmm.
So, is that, like, foreshadowing of some kind? Or did Dad really get decapitated in the head?
I would think he probably did.
Yeah.
That car flipped around quite a few times. I mean, that's pretty traumatizing.
Yeah.
That's not something you ever get
no.
over. Like, your kid's born the same day your husband gets decapitated.
Mm-hmm.
That's not something you just are able to deal with ever.
That's so brutal.
Oh, something that I found out that I thought you ladies might be interested in Hebrew. I know you ladies know Hebrew.
I right? do know Hebrew.
Apparently Baba Duck in Hebrew means he's coming for sure.
Okay.
Is that something that sounds right?
I have no idea.
I had no idea either.
Baba. Abba as father. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Interesting.
It's also bad, bad book kind of flipped around.
Oh, yeah. Bad. Duh.
Yeah.
I thought her teeth were growing in. I kind of thought, because you said to me there was like a lot of symbolism. So I was kind of looking for foreshadowing and symbolism. And she kept rubbing her gums in her mouth after the Babadook jumped into her body. And I was like, oh, man, she's going to grow some gnarly teeth or something. So I kept expecting that to happen. But I guess she just had a toothache. And so she pulled her tooth out.
Yeah, I don't.
With her super Babadook strength.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm not sure that I fully grasped the tooth thing.
Yeah.
Because she starts to have a tooth issue earlier in the movie. She keeps rubbing her cheek. She takes Sam out to eat because she says they just need to get out of the house. And she's rubbing her tooth again.
Maybe they just wanted to show at the end how she had the super Babadook strength so she could just pull her tooth out of her mouth. It was bothering her. And she's like, look what I can do.
She's fucking tired of dealing with the pain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because then she did her crazy acrobatic, like, jump on the door frame
and
kick the door. That was creepy. That was really creepy.
I like the floating thing she does.
It's very exorcist-y to me. It freaks me out.
Totally was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they use, like, a lot of, like, video game sounds, too, apparently, in this movie, which I didn't recognize personally, but I'm not much of a video game person.
How did the book get in the house?
Yeah, that's the idea. We don't know. Ugh. It just appeared on his bookshelf one day, and he got to pick the book.
Over and over.
And so it appeared. I love that. That's such a funny part in the beginning of the movie when she's reading it and she's reading ahead and seeing how scary it is. And he's like, what's happening? What's happening? And
then she's does he hurt the boy?
And then she's reading a story about a princess and he starts screaming.
It sounded like she was talking about sirens and stuff. So I was like, is that like the Odyssey or something?
I don't know.
I don't know.
It's definitely a movie with princes.
I know. She's just totally spaced out, like, reciting this book, like, and he's just screaming against her chest. That reminded me of The Shining a little bit.
Yeah.
Yes.
I am surprised how I did never caught that before, but it really does, like, remind me of The Shining a lot more than I...
You're right. I wouldn't have noticed it. It's true.
Maybe upon your fifth viewing, like, which is basically, it's easy to act like you understand a movie after you watched it five times.
I don't know. I would watch it again because I would watch it again to be able to enjoy it as a film instead of being so apprehensive about what's going to scare me next, you know?
I think you can really appreciate it a little more upon a second viewing. It's because it's not really very, like, it is scary when you haven't watched it. But after you have watched it, it really isn't very scary.
Once you know what's going on.
Yeah. I remember watching the trailer for this movie when I was really excited about it and really, like, being terrified during the trailer.
I think I saw the trailer, too.
Yeah.
And I remember, turning to, I'm sure it was Mike, and just saying, I'm never going to see this. It's like scary kid mom stuff, and I just can't handle that usually, so like, I'll never see that movie.
But you did, and you're here to tell the tale.
I survived.
We're so proud of you. I'm so proud of you.
You know what was very scary to me in the moment was the dream, like at a lot of the dream stuff. At one point, she's having a dream and she wakes up, and at the culmination of the dream, she sits up and hears in the scary voice, there's someone in the house.
Yeah.
And it's like that, you know, you have that feeling you're having a nightmare or whatever. And it's like just at the moment you wake up, something, there's this like
a sound.
There's the pacing of a nightmare. And suddenly there's a sound or a loud voice and you suddenly snap awake. And it's just like that moment of terror. And I think that conveyed really strongly.
Yeah.
With that.
I have that.
Mm-hmm.
It's not fun.
No, I do too.
Have you ever had that, Carly?
I actually don't think I have.
Lucky you.
Like, not, I don't know. Like, I've definitely, like, woken up from dreams before, but not, like, in that, not, like, any way that, like, I wake up and I'm, like, still, like, I don't know. I've never had anything like that happen.
Wow.
I'm looking at our video right now, and I kind of wish we were recording it, because it totally looks like we're having a seance. I have these, I have these candles.
We should get some tarot cards.
I know. Oh, I have some tarot cards. You want me to get them?
No.
Oh. No. Well, you suggested it. They're creepy looking, too. You would hate them.
I love it.
I had tarot cards. I watched The Craft. I had tarot cards when I was a kid.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah. Fuck, The Craft is so good.
Yeah,
so
it is. Good. Is that a horror movie? Can we watch that?
Sure it yeah. is. I totally consider The Craft a horror movie.
I love The Craft.
It's not a scary horror movie. It's good, though.
Although, coming back to it later on, it's going to be one of those things where you're like, oh, man, this is not good.
Oh, hell no, girl. I've seen that movie fairly recently, and I still love it.
Great. I can't imagine not loving it still.
It holds up. I think it holds up pretty good.
It's great.
Farooza Balk? Come on.
Yeah.
Farooza Balk is like...
She's so badass.
So frightening. Is. In so that frightening. Movie, the boots dragging. Oh, my God. Oh, I love it so
yeah.
much.
Yeah.
But you wouldn't know this, but I have a thing about witches, and I love witch movies.
I do, too. I've read all those Anne Rice books about witches. I love that stuff.
Yeah, it's really funny. So Lizzie loves reading scary books.
Just Stephen King and Anne Rice. Those two. That's it.
Yeah, but have you tried reading other authors?
I think I have. I've tried a couple other ones, and I'm not always crazy about them.
They don't grab you.
I need good writing.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
But you like the scary. It's just the visuals that get in your head.
I don't know. No, I mean, I've stayed up many, many sleepless nights after reading, like, The Witching Hour
yeah.
or, like, something like that, or lots of Stephen King books. I mean, it's if I can, I don't know what it is. I don't know.
But you still, so it seems like you like to be scared, just not when you're sleeping.
Yeah, a little bit. I like quality movies and quality books and something that engages my interest in my brain.
Yeah.
And if that happens to be scary, then I'll deal with it, basically.
Yeah.
Like, I love Stephen King's writing. I love Anne Rice's writing. The scary stuff is, I guess, that's what makes part of it engaging. So it's like, I'll just deal with that for the good stuff. But I understand how things being scary can also make them more engaging. So,
yeah.
Like this movie.
Yeah.
It being scary made it, you know, interesting to watch.
You can't tell this story without making it scary.
No.
Yeah.
You can't.
Agreed. No.
It wouldn't have been as effective.
And that again goes back to it not being just random, like, fright and terror for no reason.
Mm-hmm.
It makes sense. And that I wasn't as bitter about it. I wasn't as bitter about the scary stuff because it made sense. It had a home. There was a reason for it.
Yeah. I really saw that journey on your face.
Yeah.
Because you were really upset.
I was.
Most of this movie. And I was like, I really hope the ending works. I really hope the ending works.
It did. I was so pleased with it.
I'm glad.
I figured out what was happening.
Yeah.
It's like, why is Dad showing up and confusing her? And I was just like, well, I don't get... Oh!
And
it's a grief journey. I get it.
And when you rewatch it, you see it immediately. Like, and you can kind of, like, chase that journey the whole way through the film.
Yeah, I'd be interested to do that.
That's why the mom never wants the kid in the basement.
Right.
Because all the memories are down there, and that's where she keeps all of his clothes and all of his stuff. And you see his clothes just hanging.
Mm-hmm.
On the wall, and like as soon as you see that, shit starts to kick in. And the clothes are the clothes. Like, it's really the Babadook doesn't have much of a face. He's basically clothes. Like, it's all about the clothes.
It's
a good one. It's really a good one. I wasn't planning on doing an episode on the Babadook, like, ever. I probably would have been okay.
Why?
If we never did an episode on it. I don't know. I think I got bored with it because I've seen it quite a few times. But I think I also forgot how good of a movie it was. And once I remembered that, I was like, I think this will work.
That's so weird. I was kind of like waiting for us to do an episode on it because it's obviously streaming. It's good. Those are two great things.
I guess because it's been streaming for so long that I just kind of was like, well, we're never going to do this because it's just... here and everyone's seen it and everyone's done an episode on it, but I think this is kind of an interesting way to do an episode on the Babadook because it's nice to see it through someone else's eyes and someone who probably wouldn't have normally ever picked this movie to watch on her own.
That's for sure. I would never have watched this movie ever on my own.
Wow.
No way. What I liked, another thing I really liked about this movie and the grief stuff was that it wasn't totally black and white. It wasn't like, oh, now that she's confronting it, she can get rid of it forever.
Yeah.
It was more realistic. It was like, okay, you have to learn how to live with this. You have to learn how to process it and live with it and not let it take over your life.
Yeah.
And one foreshadowing element of that, I think, after mom threw up the Baba Gook, the kid says something like, you can't get him out. Like, once he's in, like, you can't get him out. And that plays into her keeping him in the basement.
Yeah.
At the end. Like, no, you can't just have it be over forever, but you have to learn how to live with it and continue living.
You can't get rid of the
living.
Babadook.
No.
But you can learn to deal with the Babadook.
Yeah. You can live the rest of your life and be open about it and feed him worms and move on.
Yeah. Worms? I don't know why, but...
I know. I thought that was interesting.
That's what he eats.
Well, I mean, that's kind of cute because it's kind of the kid, like, the kid idea of what mm-hmm. a monster would eat.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like if I asked any, like, six-year-old boy, what do monsters eat? 90% of them
worms,
would say worms.
Duh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that she let the kid be himself at the end. It was, you know, let him play with his weird weapons. And
I love his weird weapons. I think if the kid did not have a weird weapon thing, I don't know that I would have liked him so early
on.
He was tough. He
told his mom he said, I know you don't love me anymore because the Babadook won't let you, but I'm not going to leave you alone. And he stayed with her even though he was scared.
Yeah.
It was very sweet.
It is kind of sad, though. Like, she's unable to love her son because of her grief.
Mm-hmm.
Because she's not dealing with her grief.
Right.
She's unable to love or
she couldn't
for
separate.
Anybody.
She couldn't separate the two things.
Yeah.
Which is why she couldn't celebrate his birthday.
Yeah.
On his actual birthday.
Yeah.
You know, because she couldn't separate. She resented him for not dying, basically, or for him dying.
Yeah, she said some pretty awful things when she had the Babadook in
her.
Yeah, she did. That was pretty brutal.
I was like,
watch.
Oh, you can't unsay that.
Yeah, the kid sitting in the corner. Like, I was like, oh, man.
Yeah. I don't know if I would have shown you this movie had you had children.
Oh, I hope not, Amy.
Yeah.
That would be mean.
Yeah. Miss probably is harder to watch for people with children
than
not. But all in all, it works out in the end.
Yeah.
But hey, you were having a hard time with some of the kid stuff.
I have a hard time with kid stuff. I'm very, very sensitive with kid stuff. I love kids, but I'm not sure exactly why. But yeah, it was tough. And I was just like, kid stuff, really? Like, why are you doing this to me?
Immediately when it starts, she's like, oh, this is going to be a kid movie? Really, Amy? Is this what you're doing?
Well, I have made it very clear that I'm very... have issues with dead kid, dead mom.
No
kid,
kids
mom.
Died.
Yeah,
in this
yeah,
movie.
Yeah. No kids died. Yeah, nobody died except for the dog.
Yeah. Which didn't happen for me because I didn't see it. So
so it didn't occur.
Well, whatever. I mean, from the moment she read the book and you see the dog, the foreshadowing of the dog, I was like, oh, great. Can't wait for that. Can't wait to see the dog die. Well,
she totally did the same thing.
Throat
That's
in
true.
The book.
Paranormal Activity style. Ugh. I hate that. That destroyed me.
Yeah, that movie is not
hate
a good
it. It makes me so mad.
What, Paranormal Activity makes
yes.
you mad?
Because it kept me awake for so many nights.
Yeah.
I don't even want to talk about it. I shouldn't have brought it up.
That movie is rude.
It is rude.
When it comes to time
and
to
offensive.
Sleep.
But this was not like that, thankfully.
Well, I thank you for coming on and chatting with us about it. Is there anything else you guys want to add before we move on to our next segment?
No.
Lizzie, any other notes you want to add or anything else you want
to
say?
I'm trying to, I think I wrote some funny things. So I was just trying to find something funny that I wrote to tell you.
Okay.
Maybe not. Maybe I already said, hard to tell who's bad or good.
Yeah.
Kills dog, super strength. Let me in. Mom turned into Babadook. Book part very scary. Yeah, when she opens the book at the end, when it has been filled out after it gets dropped off at the door, that was terrifying to me.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
It's terrifying to everyone the first time they see it.
Yeah,
it's scary.
Definitely. Yeah.
I think, like, knowing that some third party or some unnamed source, like, knows what your fate is going to be and is, like, taunting you about it, obviously, that means your, like, life is out of your control, and that's terrifying.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all I got.
Being out of control in general is terrifying for me, so.
It is for most people, yeah, for sure.
All right. Well, that concludes the Babadook. Let's move on and start talking about things that are going on with us.
I like that they both looked at me. You didn't. Nobody else saw that.
Well, I have nothing going on in my life, so I know it has to be about one of you guys.
Well, we all went for a march yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We're recording this on a Sunday, so it's the day after our Women's March. It's Carly marched in LA and we marched in San Diego. So that was good.
Yeah, it was awesome. Yeah.
It was awesome.
It was crazy. Good
experience. Probably yours was quite a bit bigger than ours, but we still had a pretty big turnout.
It was supposed to be 30,000 people, I guess.
I think we got up to 50,000.
Wow. Yeah. My mom came. That was pretty cool.
Yeah.
We had 750,000 people.
That's wow. Awesome.
Yeah.
It's so crazy. Insane. And I had read that when they applied for the permit originally, they were only expecting like between 1,000 and 2,000 people.
So, yeah. Well, it started out with like 300 people. I mean, the whole thing.
Yeah. Yeah. It was pretty crazy. It was like the march was supposed to start at 10, but it didn't start until much later just because there were there were people just everywhere that like for so long you couldn't even like really move.
Where was it in LA, Carly?
Pershing like, Square is was where it started.
Okay.
So like 6th and Olive Street.
Yeah.
And then they walked to City Hall.
Oh, awesome.
And then the like stage area was set up off of Broadway and like 5th-ish area, a little bit down that way.
Downtown.
Yeah.
Nice.
It was crazy.
Well, whatever your politics, it's awesome.
It was cathartic.
It was fun. It was helpful for my mental state.
Me too.
I felt a lot better. It was therapeutic.
And lots of kids.
Lots of children.
That was cool.
Yeah. Young women.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool.
I went to CVS Friday night to buy poster board, and I was looking at the poster board. There was one woman there, probably about my mom's age, picking up a piece of pink poster board, and we kind of looked at each other for a second, and I was like, are you making a poster for the march? She said, I was about to ask you the same thing. And then another woman came and was looking at the pink poster board, and we all looked at each other and realized we were all making posters for the march. It was really cool.
That's nice.
Yeah. And we went to my car and I cut contact paper for them to cover the signs with because it was supposed to rain. And it was very nice.
That's sweet.
That's awesome.
Sometimes it's nice to just like have a moment with a stranger and where you know that you're supporting each other even though you're strangers. Like, there's just something nice in that.
It's like kind of the only thing that keeps you going sometimes. Yeah. You have those moments of reaffirmation, you know?
Yeah.
Like, oh, people give a shit. That's pretty cool. Nice. Yeah.
That was kind
of
like,
at least they want to make a poster.
Yeah. That was like how my day kind of started yesterday. Like, so I was getting dropped off. Steve had dropped me off and the 6th Street exit was closed off of the 110. And so people were just like getting out of their car because there was like a staircase leading up. But that once like we finally got to the top of the staircase, we noticed it was all like fenced off. And so people were like climbing over the fences and like, you know, helping each other get down. And then there was like a hole in the fence. And so there were two guys that were like super awesome holding like the fence, the broken fence down. And like we were like literally like lifting like grandmas and moms with like their strollers like through the fence so that they could get to the other side. And I was like, this is going to be a good day. Like,
yeah,
it's awesome. Like 9 a.m, like starting out. This is going to be awesome. And it was the whole entire day was so amazing.
Yeah, it was very posy.
Yeah, and as someone who has anxiety issues about large crowds and being around large amounts of people, mm-hmm. I found it strangely comforting. I usually have a really hard time being around crowds. Mm-hmm. I have serious issues with it.
I think what you said about height was definitely a major issue, too. That helped a lot.
Yeah, I think having a lot of women surround me who are not super tall and being able to see above people, that really helped me. But also just to, like, feel the support, and it was a positive vibe and it wasn't hostile at all. I think that also helped. And all in all, I had a hard time getting there, but once I got there, I was so happy I was there. Mm-hmm. And it definitely was difficult for me to get there, but I did it and I was really proud of myself and happy that I did it.
It was cathartic. Yeah. It was well needed.
It was.
Yeah.
Okay. Try not to stick to politics too
much. Glad y'all went to.
Let's move along a little bit, I guess. So let's see. Carly, you have a fun story you'd like to share about your Harry Potter.
Yes. So yesterday, I was very lucky to go to the Wizarding World of Harry Potter. And it was this company had like a special event going on. And so the whole thing was closed just for the company. And so there were like very little lines. And it was all of Universal Studios in Los Angeles. But I specifically went for Harry Potter. And so I was very excited because I went to Ollivander's, the wand shop, and it's kind of an experience where you go in and people get like fitted for wands, and I was the chosen one, and it was just like so much fun because the second the guy like came up to me, I just like felt like a little kid. Like I got so excited. I started like shaking a little bit because I was like so nervous.
How many people were there that you were chosen from?
There was like 10 to 15.
Cool.
Yeah, because they bring you into like a little room kind of. And then like what happens is like, you know, he does his whole spiel like in the first Harry Potter movie and gives you a wand and you wave it and like
the wand chooses the wizard.
Everything gets like fucked up like because that's not the wand for you. And then like when they give you the right one, like wind blows in your face and there's all this like light that shines down. And I was like, this is magical. And I was so
Carly
excited.
Is such an asshole. So something you need to know about Carly, Lizzie, is that she has the most amazing life and she just has all these wonderful things happen to her all the time.
I'm a lucky human.
Yeah, she really is. It's really annoying and awesome. But
what's really cool is if you do get a wand, even if you can just, you know, go into Ollivander's and buy a wand. But they have these storefronts there where, because all of the wands come with a little map of the whole little area. And if you go in front of it and wave your wand and say the spell, different windows do different things, which it's really fun because you just feel super magical and like you're in this beautiful world. And it was amazing.
I want to try that.
I want to go to, Amy, are you a Harry Potter person?
No, but that sounds amazing. Well, I mean, I've seen a couple of the movies.
You haven't read the books, though?
I haven't read the books.
Yeah.
I never was against reading the books. I just never, like, happened to
The movies
to
are
do
whatever
it.
For me, and the books are fantastic.
I've heard the book. I would rather read the books than watch the movies.
I haven't even seen all the movies, but I read all the books, and the books are fantastic.
Well, should I find myself with a ton of free time, and I will try to dive into the books. I'm sure once I start, I wouldn't be able to stop.
I'm asking you that because I want to go to Harry Potter Wizarding World.
I will go to Harry Potter Wizardy World, whatever, not understand everything.
Cool. I'll explain all of it to you.
It's awesome. It's so cool. And they did such a good job. Like, the owlry is there, and like Honeydukes, and the Three Broomsticks, and
is the candy store there?
Yep, I bought a chocolate frog and pumpkin juice.
Oh,
and butterbeer is delicious.
Is it alcoholic?
No, I think.
I guess it's not in the book either.
Yeah, I think that they're going to offer an alcoholic version, but the one that
so.
I have, they have like regular, and then they had the frozen one. And so I got the frozen one yesterday.
Cool.
But it was, it's super delicious. And apparently, like, J.K. Rowling did the taste test and, like, approved it. She was like, yes, this is what butterbeer tastes like. So I feel good about it.
Nice.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's exciting.
How about, so, Lizzie, just to catch you up, I'm a Gilmore Girls fan.
Okay.
I'm a major Gilmore Girls girl. And Carly had never seen Gilmore Girls, so she's watching Gilmore Girls. And Carly loves Buffy, and I've never seen Buffy, so I'm watching Buffy.
Okay.
The Vampire Slayer, the whole
show.
Mm-hmm. So we check in every week on how we're doing. So how are you doing on Gilmore Girls this week,
Good.
Carly?
So Luke and Lorelai are back together.
Hooray!
But Lorelai is still pissed at her mom, at Emily.
Yes, because Emily did not do a nice thing.
Yeah.
Is Lorelai the daughter or the mom?
The mom. Technically, they're both Lorelai, but the daughter's name is Rory.
Okay.
Nickname, I guess.
Okay.
And then Rory is dating-ish Logan, kind of.
Dating-ish.
Yeah, because they're, like, seeing other people, but she's more doing it to, like, make him jealous.
Yeah. Oh, did they have the
Tarantino party?
The Tarantino party is a good episode.
So good.
Yeah.
I was really impressed with the all the costumes.
Yeah, Rory's costume, she just threw that together really.
Well, I mean, her Chilton outfit.
Yeah, but
the metal
what
thing.
Do you even call
yeah,
that?
She was,
like
she
the
was
spike ball?
Go-Go Ubari for those that don't know. And she legit had like the ball on the chain.
Yeah, I was impressed by that.
I also was, and jealous.
Yeah, that's a good episode. I'm glad you got there. I'm on the third season of Buffy.
Nice.
And I'm really enjoying it. Although there's like the end of season two was really heartbreaking for me.
Yeah.
A hard time watching Angel.
I know.
go through all of his angel things.
He was poor angel. He was having a hard time.
Yeah, and now there's a Willow Xander thing that I'm not super stoked about.
It's fine. So, it's fine. You're good.
I know. I like Willow and Oz, so I'm not crazy about Willow and Xander.
Yeah, Willow and Oz are definitely the best.
Yeah. But otherwise, I'm doing well with it. I have a hard time watching it because my husband hates it. He gets so mad every time I put it on, so I have to wait till he's not home or he's doing something else because he gets really upset. I don't know why. I think it's because, like, it's a cheesy 90s teenage drama. He's not into that.
So magical and about monsters. It, though. How far into the third season are you?
Maybe, like, 4 or 5 episodes in. Maybe more. I don't really know. I lose track because I kind of just binge it when he's not around because I have to, like, get through as much as I can. Because second he gets home, he's like, turn that off! Can't deal with it.
My favorite episode of the entire series is in the 4th season, so I'm excited for you to get there. Okay.
Well, I'll let you know when I'm in the 4th season. I probably won't get there till next week.
All good.
We'll see. Okay, anything else we need to talk about? Lizzie, is there anything you're watching or reading or whatever that you might want to mention?
Oh, I've been binging on TV super hard recently because I've been unpacking and decorating my house and stuff. Mm-hmm. I recently discovered a season of Downton Abbey I hadn't seen, so that was really exciting.
Oh my gosh.
I finished it.
The last one, the last season. Oh, I haven't
so
watched
good.
It yet. I need to watch
okay.
it.
Okay. Yeah, you do. But now I feel like my life is kind of over in a sad way, and I'm trying to fill the void, and it's hard.
That's why I've Isn't totally been putting sense? It off, because I'm like, it's still going on, if yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
I watched an episode of The Crown, and I was very disappointed by it. Mm. I thought it was boring. So... I just watched something really funny, Judd Apatow TV show called Love.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
I really liked it.
I liked it, too. Have you seen that?
I did. I liked it, but I hate the both of the main characters.
Yeah, I agree.
I kind of... I don't know.
They're both pretty terrible
It's a
team.
Yeah, I mean, they are kind of terrible.
People, but, like, yeah. watching the shitty things that happen is fun.
Yeah, it's pretty funny. I enjoyed, the beginning more than the end, but it was pretty funny. Yeah, but I'm not really super into anything right now. I don't know. I'm just trying to distract myself from the cruel reality of the world at the moment, so whatever I can watch that isn't news-related is great. That's why Downton Abbey was perfect.
Yeah.
There's a new show on Amazon Prime I recommend. It's called Sneaky Pete.
Oh, I haven't heard of that.
Tony and I have been watching it. It's got...
I see billboards for that everywhere.
It's got... God damn it, what's his name? It's super Italian.
Also, I'm just going to throw this out there. They just put Unsolved Mysteries on Amazon Prime. So
Unsolved Mysteries.
That's is that happening.
Is Unsolved Mysteries like a nonfiction?
It's, yeah.
I think I know what it is.
Yeah, so, it was on the Discovery Channel or something way back in the day. I totally own the Ghost Box set of all their ghost episodes.
Oh, okay. I totally know what you're talking about now. Okay.
Giovanni Ribisi.
Oh, I like Giovanni Ribisi.
Ooh. Giovanni Ribisi is the main character.
I like him too.
And Bryan Cranston is also on it.
Okay.
Also a good one.
It's good.
Is it funny?
So yeah, it's kind of funny and it's like comedy drama. Giovanni Ribisi plays like this criminal mastermind. He's amazing at like sleight of hand mm-hmm. and like tricking people and manipulating people. And he's like the bad guy you root for.
All right, I like that.
And then there's also bad guys you don't root for. Yeah. Like Bryan Cranston is like a really bad guy, and Giovanni Ribisi is like a kind of bad guy. It's good. It's different. I've never seen anything like it. It's enjoyable. I have a hard time following it sometimes, but usually it's because it's like late at night when I watch it and I fall asleep. And
well, that's awesome. I need I'm always happy to have suggestions
It's on Amazon Prime. I
have access to it now that you gave me a Roku.
Yay!
Awesome.
I recommend it.
All right, cool.
I think you both would like it.
Yeah.
If you feel free to check that out.
Yeah, I'll have to check it out.
Anything else you want to close out?
Yeah, I'm trying to think. Nothing jumps into my brain, so.
Okay. So I will just give a big shout out to Troy from Cave Bastard. Thank you for our music, our song Sequencing the Drone. Thank you to Justin Link for our amazing logo, and also to Christina, my friend Christina, who made our Let's Make a Monster logo. You can find information on them at finalgirlshorrorcast.com. Also, we still have a lot of stickers left.
And they're really cool.
Thanks, Lizzie. we have so many to give away. How do you get a sticker, you ask? Are you...
Amy, how do you get a sticker?
Oh, thank you for asking, Lizzie. Let me tell you.
Should I take one off the table here?
No, that's not how, that's how you get them. But let me tell the nice folks at home how they get them.
Okay.
All you have to do is share our podcast on social media or rate and review us on iTunes, then send us an email at finalgirlshorrorcast@gmail.com, and we'll send some directly to you for free from us with love.
What's that email again?
finalgirlshorrorcast@gmail.com. Oh. Thanks for asking, Lizzie.
Yeah, thanks for telling me.
And lastly, Final Girls Horrorcast is part of the Phantom Podcast Network, available on downrightcreepy.com, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, TunedIn, and basically anywhere that you can stream a podcast, probably.
Right?
Yeah. We are also on Twitter at FinalGirlsHC. As well as Instagram and Facebook, just search for Final Girls Horrorcast.
Thank you, Carly.
Hey, anytime.
So that's it for today. Tune in next week when Carly and I go back to our regular format and discuss 2016's The Monster, now streaming on Amazon Prime, and 2012's Sinister, now streaming on Netflix. Carly, do not watch Sinister. You will hate it. Or not Carly. Lizzie.
Me? I was like, but I have to.
Yeah.
I was confused. It's like, Amy, she should probably watch the show. Are you tired? Like,
Lizzie.
I won't.
Do not watch Sinister.
I won't.
You will hate it.
Done.
You will hate it.
I will not watch it.
Yeah, don't watch it. Okay, but that's it for you guys. Watch it at home. Watch it. That's your homework. The Monster on Amazon Prime and Sinister at Netflix. Until next week, I'm Amy.
And I'm Carly.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.